Hour two overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Dave Poulin in studio. Our buddy Craig Button will join us here in a moment. See what Craig thinks about the Seattle Kraken picks, because the picks are in. They're officially into the league. Almost. We're still waiting on Detroit. I swear, I just think everyone forgot about Detroit. They've been so irrelevant for a couple of years. They're so bad.
They're going to be relevant.
At some point?
Yeah, a couple of years.
I hope so.
Yeah.
For them.
I do. I think they're going to be relevant in a couple of years. They've added some pieces, and they've kind of put the slow play on some. You know, they left the German defenseman Sider over there this year and let him play over in Europe, and they've done that with a couple of their young prospects. But I think they're on the right track.
Well, they have bottomed out. You know, they went to the playoffs for so long, and they have been one of, if not the worst team in the league for, you know, two or three years now, Pooley, give or take.
Yeah, by a margin, and they haven't got a break in the lottery.
In the draft,
either.
No, they haven't.
They really have
the lottery. No, they didn't again this year. They're not picking the top. I think they picked third, maybe fourth.
Yeah, I think they're fourth again. They were fourth last year, and they were sixth a couple years in a row. They took the Zadina kid, and then the German defenseman Sider. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued a little bit. I thought Steve Yzerman would have stepped up and taken a goalie, or maneuvered to take a goalie. You know, and it was his third draft in Tampa when he landed the big guy. And it was his second pick in the first round that he got Vasilevsky. He took Slater Cuckoo with 10th overall pick, and then got Vasilevsky with the 19th overall pick in the first round, which was higher than people thought he was going to go, because he was scheduled to play in the KHL. And it was just like, look, I'm going to get my goalie and just forget about it. And 2 years ago, he had a chance at six. It would have been too high, but maybe to maneuver to take Spencer Knight, who's the best one we've seen come through in the last couple of years. And now it looks like, I mean, Florida's got to figure that out, because Spencer Knight finishes the year with four straight wins as a 20-year-old, and looks like he's going to be the real deal.
Well, we'll see. I mean, they, I think, still have another year or two to kind of figure out how this is going to play out in Detroit before the expectation will be you got to start winning. You know, they got that new building, and it happened to coincide when they were bottoming out.
It is so great down there, Brian. Have you been?
I've heard
that building?
It's beautiful. It's, yeah,
the whole area around it. I mean, there were times when you couldn't walk from the hotel to the rink in the not too distant past, and now it is really, really beautiful all around the building, and the restaurants, and the building itself is spectacular. And I've had a tour of the whole underneath locker room area, and the way they've done it with suites and in the press box, every bit of it is absolutely first class. They need a hockey team that can win there.
Right. I've heard the whole setup in Detroit is goes against their history, the stereotyping of Detroit, you know, bankrupt city that's been on hard times for quite some time. That, you know, the new Tigers Park is beautiful. The Lions are right across the street. Like, there's a little sports
city. Yeah, it's all
city.
In one area.
It's all in the one area, and it's got a really cool vibe, and there's a lot of synergy there. And it's got a great history. I mean, Detroit has a great sports history, and we've got a real connection here. You know, like, Buffalo is Toronto's American city, but Detroit's not far off. You know, you can get Detroit in, what, four and a half hours from Toronto?
Right.
And Leaf fans have been going back and forth forever, going down there to catch games on Friday nights, Saturday nights. And
I've seen both NFL games and baseball games there, and they're just great parks. That whole area is
I went to a Tiger game at Old Tiger Stadium. And remember with the short
that
roof?
That was a ballpark.
That was a park. It was a dump. It was awful.
Oh, it was spectacular.
It was. And, like, my childhood, I remember Cecil Fielder just launching balls off that roof. Launching them off
great.
The roof.
And hustling down to first base.
And just going moseying on down. Just going for a cruise. Hey, it's out of the park. It doesn't matter. You can take
a minute
and a half or 15
seconds. He invented
seconds.
The slow trot.
He did.
Great old ballpark, though. I mean, you still miss the history of those. There's only a couple left, obviously, in Wrigley.
Yep.
Fenway. Were you ever in Comiskey, the old Comiskey?
No, in Chicago? No, I was,
you,
I was not.
You were, because you were in Tiger Stadium. So
that's
that was the old Comiskey.
My understanding. Very, very similar dynamic.
Very, very similar. Similar time frame and
yep.
Classic old ballpark.
Yep. Exactly. Well, I'm getting chirped now from Detroit fans wondering why I'm calling their team irrelevant. Listen, they've been awful for 3 years. What do you want to say about that? What do you want me to say about
that? Well, I get a little bit of inside scoop.
They've been awful for a few years.
One of my former players from Notre Dame is the head coach in Grand Rapids, Ben Simon, who played here with the Marlies for a little while. He's been the AHL coach for a couple of years now, and they've got some kids coming. They do.
I don't dispute that.
Group coming.
Listen, my job is not to know what the Grand Rapids Griffins are doing. My job is to know what the Detroit Red Wings are doing.
What the Wheeled Wing is doing.
That's right. This is a big league show. Poorly. We don't worry about what's going on
down there. Down to the East Coast League?
No, I'm not breaking down what's going on in the coast or what their picks are doing in Europe.
Lucas Raymond, watch for him.
I will. I look forward to seeing him. And I've got to listen, an original six team, I'm rooting for that. And Steve Yzerman, based on what he did in Tampa,
he's kind of got a track record.
He's got a very good track record. Yep. I'm not doubting him. I'm not doubting him at all.
You're just waiting for him.
For a second. I'm just waiting. And when that day comes, I'll be the first one to say I knew
Steve,
it was coming.
We're waiting.
Exactly. I knew it was coming. But as for the Maple Leafs, again, Jared McCann acquired him 5 days ago, and they gave up a prospect and a pick. And he
that
ends up getting picked.
That had come over
Seattle.
In the Kapanen deal.
The Kapanen deal.
From
yes.
Pittsburgh. So interestingly, a different management team from Pittsburgh trades back for him.
Traded back for Hollander.
They
yeah.
weren't there when they drafted him.
No, Burke and Hextall were not there. Now, the scouting staff, I think, probably would have still been there, maybe.
No,
I don't know if there's
been
turnover.
Changed over, too.
So there you go. Yeah.
But they probably
not sure.
liked him when they were in Philly.
Maybe he's got that track record. Exactly. And Hollander, there's a guy we never knew either here in Toronto. He never made his way across. Never played for the Leafs. But the picks are largely, they're officially in, and they've been leaked, and we kind of know who's going to Seattle. And to chat about that, among some other things, it's a busy week in the NHL. It will be for the next week and a half. This time next week, free agency opens up. Here is our good buddy Craig Button joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. You better be on your game next Wednesday, Brian. Free agent frenzy.
Oh, I'm getting the emails already, Craig.
I've talked to Dryden. He's told me they're putting a lot on your plate.
Okay. Well, listen, I can eat. You know that, Craig. I'm always hungry. I'm always waiting to feast.
He's going to be the chef that day, Craig. He's already.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be cooking up lots of things, and not that Brian needs a stove to cook up anything. But
I'm resourceful when it comes to yelling and screaming about different things.
No, I'm talking about how you cook up ideas and you cook up debates. Those are all good things. We need that on Free Agent Frenzy.
Yes, we do. Well,
I don't think we're going to need it this year.
No, I don't know.
I think
we're
getting a little
either.
Bit going on between now and then, Craig.
Okay, yeah, well, you know what? Like we get to have some fun. Pick an Olympic team, omissions, additions, long shots. Philip Hollander, was he an A prospect? Because you know how everybody in Toronto looks at their prospects. Everybody. I mean, they have a prospect list that's 27 deep if you talk to everybody.
Well,
they might need a few of them this year.
They might. I mean, that has been something we have been talking about on this show, actually, the last couple of weeks, Craig, is that, there's two guys in particular that are likely going to walk. It's not guaranteed, but likely going to walk. Zach Hyman, who's been playing on the top line left side for years, and Frederick Anderson. Both of them have been here for 5 years. Like, their careers in Toronto have coincided. And Freddie is likely going to walk, and they do not have a in-house replacement. They don't have a kid who's 23, 24, has been in the minors, waiting to play, not coming up. So they got to find another goalie via free agency or via trade. And I don't see in their system, you know it better than I do, but I know it decently well, I don't see anyone in their system that's taking over for Zach Hyman with Matthews and Marner. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, there's no correction there.
Right. So that probably should be a topic of discussion, that they're not churning out prospects who are ready for when these guys are likely going to walk and when their deals are up.
Well, you want to plan out, and Dave, you know this, as well as anybody. You want to plan out for your present team. You want to plan out, kind of what, where you have your depth so that you can mitigate against injuries. And then you want to mitigate against, salary increases and what the salary cap presents to you in terms of, okay, we don't have enough money. I mean, Andreas Johnsson comes to mind, Kasper Kapanen come to mind. They have to move those players out. But now you get to another critical part of planning and mitigating against the loss of them is also, okay, who in the prospect pool can come now and replace them? Because you're also limited, and we saw this with the Toronto Maple Leafs last year, you know, with the money they have allocated to a few number of players, it doesn't afford you the luxury of going out and finding players. You got to be looking for those bargains and hopefully guys that can come in and give you a little bit more than their salary, you know, indicates, and, you know, maybe have a rejuvenation in some cases. But that's where you find yourself. And that's where the entry level contracts and the development and drafting becomes so imperative, because if you have those players on entry level contracts and they've been developed and they come in and contribute, you know, it makes it a lot easier to navigate through the challenges of the salary cap.
Well, what do you make of the scenario where the Leafs find themselves right now with the Kraken, where they trade, you know, Hollander in a seventh to get McCann, and McCann's here for 5 days, and now he's in Seattle. So I guess effectively you could look at it as if the Leafs gave up Hollander a seventh to keep Kerfoot, if that was the other guy that Seattle was looking at, and maybe they were looking at someone else. But is that business that makes sense to you? Do you think that was worthy of the effort and the end result for the Maple Leafs?
I thought it was a real sharp move by Kyle Dubas and the management group. I thought when you're looking at your protected list and you're going, okay, this is where we're going. We're going eight skaters. And now you try to explore, okay, what's the cost going to be to keep Kerfoot? Because I don't think there's any question that there's value in Alex, both on the ice and in his contract. And, you know, now Ron Francis is going to drive a price on that. And, you know, I think Kyle looked at it. And we're also, I think, pretty cognizant of the fact that Jared McCann was a target for the Seattle Kraken. So when Kyle is determining what the cost of them not giving up Kerfoot, now we can go investigate possibilities with other players. Now he looks and sees Jared McCann might be a problem. And to your point earlier, when you were talking about a previous regime, trading Hollander, but then potentially a new regime coming in and having liked Hollander, Ron Hextall from Philadelphia, and whoever, coming in with his group and saying, hey, we like this guy. Well, now you go, okay, the price is a lot cheaper to not only potentially keep Kerfoot, but if they take Kerfoot, we have the alternative already in place. And I think it was a real shrewd move ahead of the expansion draft, and I think the price is appropriate, because Hollander, we can look at 2 years down the road and try to project where he's going to be. That's where he is. He's 2 years down the road. He's not anywhere near to being able to replace Jared McCann or Alex Kerfoot.
Craig, take Seattle's point of view on taking McCann ahead of Kerfoot. I thought Kerfoot had a terrific playoff. I mean, in a brief playoff, but I played as well as he's played as a Leaf. And do you think they just see more offense in McCann, and that's what they weren't able to pull a lot of today, is just that offensive upside, and that McCann may have a little bit more of than Kerfoot?
Absolutely, Dave. I concur, you know, with you. I mean, you look at Jared McCann. He's got an excellent shot. He's got a shot where he can score from 40 feet. It's a weapon on the power play. The lack of offensive options for the Seattle Kraken, I think, led them to Jared McCann. You know, it's $600,000 approximately cheaper on the salary cap, but you know they have players like Alex Kerfoot, and while Alex Kerfoot certainly is attractive, I totally feel the same way about you with their selection of Jared McCann and the offensive aspect to it.
Well, when you look at the Leafs and now the holes that they're still going to have, even though Kerfoot's here, and he's versatile, I could see him playing remaining third-line center option. Maybe he plays on the left side with Tavares and Nylander, which he has done at times in the past. But if Hyman walks, you're looking at a winger to play on that top line. I think they might need a fourth line center, or certainly another option further down the lineup. I like their defense core, but they're probably going to be looking for a replacement for Bogosian, you know, probably a similar style of player if they can find one. And then you need a goaltender, I think, of record. I think you need, you know, a substantial option there, like at minimum a tandem guy, if not someone that can even push ahead of Campbell if Campbell comes back to the pack a little bit. So you know, I think four pieces. Is that how achievable is that, and how reasonable is it to expect that the Leafs can get that done between now and opening night?
Well, here's what I say all the time, guys, about GMs. Don't tell me how hard it is. Don't tell me about how difficult it is to make a trade or navigate. That's your job. That's your job. And your job is to put the team in the best position possible. So number one, that's what Kyle Dubas and his manager group are required to do. I don't want to hear excuses. If you're going to tell me excuses, I'll get somebody else to do the job. Simple as that. Number two, when you identify where you want to strengthen your team, well, you got to look at all the options. So, you know, we know Zach Bogosian, what he delivered. We know Zach Hyman delivered. Well, you got to go and make sure that you know what types of players can fill those roles, and then you got to make the efforts to acquire them. And that's number two. Number three, and I'm going to use this player. You know, Yaroslav Halak, who is not going to go back to Boston, I think he fits the bill of what you just talked about with the tandem goalie. He's been terrific in Boston with Tuukka Rask. I think he could be terrific in Toronto. So, you know, that's one guy in that position. But I think that the Toronto Maple Leafs need more, what I'd like to call more physical speed in their lineup that can be disruptive, that can make the opponents uneasy and uncomfortable and create advantages. It's not just getting somebody to play with Matthews so he has room. It's about having a third line that makes an opponent really, really, you know, leery about going out on the ice, that wears down opponents and grinds them and keeps them pinned and make sure that the next line coming out against them now can have a little bit more of that. I don't think they have enough of that. I don't think they have enough hard speed that plays down further in their lineup. And I think that that's something, if they don't get it, they're going to run into the same problems they did this year in the playoffs.
You know, Craig, it's interesting as I'm looking at this group that Ronnie Francis has put together in Seattle, and I'm picturing a third line of Brandon Tanev, Yanni Gourde, and Mason Appleton, and addressing exactly what you just talked about. Like, exactly. You know, and Kelly Yarncroc has become a hard player to play against. And, you know, there's five or six guys in that group. My first thought when I looked at the group that they've put together initially in Seattle, they're not going to be very much fun to play against. And I think they did a real good job on defense, but up front they've got four or five or six guys that are going to be no picnic to line up against every shift.
Well, and that's the key, right? Like, I mean, you know, it's not players are sitting on the bench and going, oh, geez, I got to go out against that line, right? You think about the Red Wings when they were winning and you had to go out against McCarty, Draper, and Maltby. Like, how much fun was that, Dave? Like, you know, it's no fun. And they just wear you down. They got speed. They're disruptive. They're physical. They're hard. And, you know, we talked about the Goudreau, Gourde, Coleman line. You know, you just talked about, you know, Tanev, Gourde, and Appleton. You know, those are difference makers. And, you know, we know that Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Nylander and Tavares, we know that they're, but they need, you need more than just those four guys scoring. You think about your good teams in Philadelphia, Dave, and really good teams. Teams that were, you know, one of the best in the National Hockey League, were in the finals. Yeah, you had skill, but you had those hard edge players and other key components of your lineup that made you really hard to play against.
Yeah, there's no question that's the angle that he's taken early. And the absence of, you know, really high-end skill in the expansion draft dictated that. But another interesting point to me is there's only, I think there's a total of five or six contracts that go beyond a year. And a couple of those are only 2 years. And when the market gets really dry money-wise, if this cap stays flat for 2 years or 3 years, that's when that Seattle money is going to take on exponential value. Because that's when he's going to have a lot of money 2 to 3 years from now.
Well, and money will be attractive because other teams are going to be locked into their money with no wiggle room, right? So now the free agent players are going, well, gee, Seattle's a good place to play. Look, they got a good thing going there. We want to go there, and Seattle can satisfy those. You know, Dave, you know, when we look at expansion, Brian, you know, they're required to take 20 contracts. They're not taking more than 20, and they're not taking it. That's why I never thought Carey Price was a good option for them, not just because of the injury concerns, but also because of 5 years and he's 34 years of age. Same with Jakub Voracek, or, you know, there's some of these players that you heard about that, you know, were available. I totally feel the same way, that it's trying to put a competitive team on the ice that's going to afford you the opportunity to take advantages of opportunities that nobody even knows exist right now. But if you don't have the room, you're not going to be able to even explore them.
Yep, they've got a chance in Seattle. I mean, we know what the team is. They're going to be pretty good, and they're going to be very flexible, and they're going to have money to work with. Likely more deals are still coming. You know, like, there's probably more deals that will be coming featuring Seattle based on the news that we've just heard. And they also signed, you know, Adam Larson today, who counts as their Oilers pick. And if you're in Edmonton, the last 2 weeks now you've heard Larson's gone and Klefbom's likely not playing next year. So what are they thinking in Edmonton in terms of that back end?
Well, I mean, again, like, let me take a step back. You know, just having watched the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? Adam Larson, you know, I think what he delivers to a team is really significant. I love the fact that they got him on 4-year term, because I think that Adam has that much time left and like, good productive play. The dollars are fine, but you start to look at the play. Like, look at Ben Sherrod and look at Joel Edmondson and how well they played and how impactful they were. I think Adam Larson can be the same thing. Now, Tyson Barrie is a different player, and, you know, Ethan Bear is a different player, and Evan Bouchard is an offensive player. I can tell you what, not a one of them is Adam Larson. And so, you know, we hear about, they'll circle back to Tyson Barrie. Great. Like, they got two significant holes to fill with the absence of Klefbom and Adam Larson. And if this is about, they get Duncan Keith and they want to keep moving forward and try to be more competitive come playoff time, Adam Larson's a big loss. But back to what I said earlier about GMs, you know what? You know what you're dealing with. Now go find a solution. That's your job.
Yep, and it's been all about the GM in Seattle here for the last few days. And as of tomorrow, every other GM's back on the clock, and it's going to be an active week. And I'm looking forward to getting after it next Wednesday, when we do our thing on TSN, Free Agent Frenzy. And you'll be a big part of that, Craig. We'll catch you then, if not before. And we always appreciate you taking time. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And really look forward to seeing you next week.
Yep, it's going to be fun. There he is, Craig Button, our TSN hockey resident scout and GM, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today, MapleToyota.com. So, Craig likes the Maple Leafs move in terms of, you know, picking up McCann, paying that price, and keeping Kerfoot.
Yeah, that it is good. And the other side of it is you have kept Kerfoot, who's a, you know, a very good serviceable player. You haven't freed up any cap space. And so you're not in a better position to sign Zach Hyman. And I'm confused. Jason Gregor reported out of Edmonton that Hyman was meeting with Edmonton today.
That's what Jason tweeted out. Yeah, he's hearing that Hyman is meeting the Oilers today, which I know the Leafs had given Hyman permission to talk to other teams about.
Right.
But
right.
That was about trading the rights, I believe. And I think your confusion comes with the fact that the league is supposed to be frozen.
They closed the window, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe that could be a bit of an issue for people in Edmonton.
Well, if he's posting that.
Yeah, I would think there might
need
to be an
explanation. We're just reading what we're reading. We're not yeah. Breaking anything here. I didn't know, I guess, the discussion period. Because they went to that discussion period before unrestricted free agency opened. And everybody was just doing the deals, right? In those 3 days.
Shopping 5 minutes window. Into the
yeah,
actual
exactly.
Show.
Exactly.
Done.
Now, that was removed, but this is available because of the Leafs granting permission for Hyman to speak to other teams.
Yeah, and it does sound like Edmonton is very ambitious to get that done. Mm-hmm. Like, they want Hyman. And I think there are a number of teams.
Well, what they want to really do is keep 97 happy.
Yeah.
And I think part of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was doing that. And this would be obviously another key part of it.
It would be. And listen, if Hyman ends up there and Hyman plays with McDavid, Nugent-Hopkins stays on a line with Draisaitl, you know,
they're a better team.
You're talking about top six that's going to be very, I mean, it's potent anyway, but it's going to be very good. And, you know, Craig brings up a good point. Like, it's it's on the GMs to figure it all out. That's the job. You got to figure it all out. You got to put a team together. I am curious to see how it's going to play out here with the Maple Leafs, because they do have some potentially glaring holes in net, left wing, top line, depth forward, depth defenseman. But, you know, when you look at what they still have, with Kerfoot here adding to the four forwards, guys like Mikheyev, Simmons, Spezza coming back, the defense, I think, is pretty good. And
it's
Campbell,
the goalie position.
If they could solidify that with a good goalie, I'm not expecting a rock star, superstar goalie here, but a good goalie, and you've got a good tandem, then they'll be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll have the makings of being a playoff team, and then we'll see what you got when you get to the dance. And they still got to get there over 82. You know, you got to avoid injuries and all that kind of stuff, anything catastrophic. But they got some work to do, like every other team in the league, and this was to be expected. But when the dust settles, you're hoping, if you're a Leaf fan, in 2 weeks, they've got someone in net who's adequate, if not more than that. You've added a couple of pieces depth-wise up front, and you're looking at a team and you're saying, that's a 95-plus point team that's going to the playoffs again.
There is going to be no time off for general managers this summer.
No.
There is going to be no time off.
No, and everyone kind of shuffles back into their usual routine too, right? 82 games on the road, or 41 on the road, 82 in total. You know, travel, maybe the Olympics.
Third week in September.
Yeah.
Wow, the Olympics would really cram it again next year.
Yep, it really could. So you're looking at the divisions going back to their standard alignment.
You just said a normal year, but the Olympics throws the word normal up in the air again.
Yeah, that takes 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks of the season out of the running, you know, and you've got to make adjustments and play probably a lot more, you know, back-to-backs. And
the guys cheering for that are the guys that wouldn't be picked for the Olympic team, Brian.
Yeah, in terms of their focus on the regular season and the playoffs, for sure. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we'll see where this goes, but it does sound like Zach Hyman is in Edmonton right now, according to Jason Greger from TSN Radio in Edmonton, and I guess a sign-and-trade could end up happening, and I think that's maybe what the Leafs are looking for, but Hyman in Edmonton would suggest he's gone there to really get a read on what's available, right? Like,
what would the price be for a sign-and-trade with that player? I'm thinking of sign-and-trades last year. Edmondson was a sign-and-trade, right? Or no, it wasn't. It was a fifth-round pick for his rights before, but the contract would have been agreed to.
Yeah, you don't see too many sign-and-trades in the NHL.
No, like, it enables the eighth year, right?
Yeah, it very rarely happens. And if it's not, maybe it's a trading of the rights and they get it done before he hits
free
agency.
That would make more sense, actually.
I think if you're the Leafs, you're looking to acquire picks. You know,
yes.
I think they got to get back into the draft.
Yes.
I think they need some picks, and you got to keep throwing darts at the board here, because, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, it comes up. You know, like you need.
It is coming up right now.
You need systems. Yeah, you need guys in your system. And, you know, who they've drafted the last couple of years are not going to apply. Those kids are too young. But 2 years from now, these drafts better work. You know, there better be guys coming through the system. You have to have it in the cap era. You've got to have it. You have to have it before the cap.
Well, I think of the winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals, scored by Ross Colton.
Ross Colton.
A fourth-round pick, you know, 6 years ago, who played at Vermont for a couple of years, then played in Syracuse in the minors and worked his way up. And
yep.
All of a sudden he's on, you know, and bumped up to the third line to balance their lines out. And scores the winning goal in a 1-0 game in the Stanley Cup Championship.
Be playing next year, right? With Yanni Gourde was the pick from Tampa, but Moore has to go out the door.
Boy, Tampa had, like, when you looked at that list of guys, there were 8 guys I would have taken from Seattle.
I know.
I take a couple guys from Tampa and not take one from?
I know. Well, that's it, right? We said with Pittsburgh, they took Brandon Tanev, but then they basically took McCann as well.
Right.
2 guys from Pittsburgh, and I could see them having multiple guys from Tampa when all is said and done. So thanks again to Craig Button for joining us. We will continue to look ahead to the Jays in action tonight, get back into the Bucks winning the NBA Finals. Anthony Cirelli, speaking of the Tampa Bay Lightning, he'll join us in about an hour. So we'll catch up with Anthony Cirelli. Yeah, that'll be great. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the
Wheel of Misfortune.
Yes, it is. There it is. The dulcet tones of Al's brother. Is he in there today? Are you staring at Al's brother?
I have no idea. He's not hiding. No, the light's off in his little cubby.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, he's not there.
Maybe he's sleeping in there.
He could be.
I don't know.
He could be.
I'm sure it gets a little bit uncomfortable.
Check under the desk.
Yeah, I missed that, being in studio and just catching a glimpse of Al's brother. Just
Mulls
making...
is the same. Mulls is exactly the same.
Yeah, uncomfortable eye contact every once in a while. It's like, oh, there's Al's brother staring at me while I'm doing an interview. Hi, Al's brother. Anyway, you know the way this works. We play different games every Wednesday.
Works. There's different games all the time with
you
guys.
Well, you'll figure it out. Let's spin the wheel, see what we're playing on a Wednesday afternoon.
Jerry would like to congratulate the Milwaukee Bucks and the Greek Freak winning the NBA championship. Jerry's nickname was Freak back in college. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Jerry, in the summer, Pooley, I don't think you realize how significant this news is and how lucky you are to be witnessing this.
I feel
and
very
be a part
fortunate.
Of it.
And very current, too. The guy that must have actually worked today to broadcast that coming tape that? Or?
There's a lot going on here. Jerry
was that
generally
on file somewhere thinking Milwaukee was going to win the NBA championship and
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think Jerry just decided, you know what, I've got time for you.
Today?
Yeah, and we're doing it now, so let's get after it. Let's get to the takes here from Jerry.
Jerry's calling it right here, right now. The Seattle Kraken will win a playoff series before one of the Maple Leafs or Oilers.
Okay, so only one of them, right? So what Jerry's saying here, I guess, is let's say the Leafs win a round this year.
Okay. So but both the Oilers, have to make the playoffs. That's number one.
That's right. And the Oilers would, too. And Seattle would have to. But yeah. Seattle doesn't have to win one before, you know, any of them. It's just before one of them wins. So take that for what it's worth, Pooley. What's your percentage chance of that happening?
20%. Really low. Really low. I don't see that happening. I just don't.
Well, history would suggest
I don't think the expansion team... we're measuring them against Vegas. They're not going to do what Vegas did. And I know they're in the West, and I know the West could be weak. California's... Hey, California, I mean, somebody's going to be better out there, aren't they?
I'm not sure, are they? I mean, I don't...
That wasn't a rhetorical question. I wasn't asking that, like...
Anaheim won't
for
be.
For sure.
I don't think Anaheim would be.
Don't think San Jose is. I think the Kings are going to be.
I think the Kings have a chance. They got some young guys who are already basically here. I think
they're
the going to
do some willing and dealing, I'm told, as well.
Yeah, they've got a shot. Arizona, I think, is worse.
Agreed.
They will be worse, so...
Seattle should be better than Arizona.
I think they'll be better than Arizona, better than Anaheim. I think they might be better than San Jose.
The big guy Getzy's out of there.
Yeah, looks like it. You know, and then Vancouver, do they get back? I don't know. I could see Seattle making the playoffs. I think it's close. I think they'll be in the running. I could see it. Again, the Leafs could win, but if Seattle beats Edmonton, then this counts. If Edmonton wins and then Seattle
I don't
beats...
I see it happening.
I got to go a little bit higher than you. I'm going to be in the minority on this, but again, history would suggest the Leafs have not won a playoff round in 17 years. The Oilers have not won one. They've been due for a long time, Pooley, and the Oilers have been due for a long time as well. I think both teams, the Oilers and the Leafs, will be in the playoffs next year. I think they have a better chance of getting there than Seattle, but not by much necessarily. But I'll still be in the minority. I'll say 35% because it may not be about this year. None of them could win playoff rounds this year, and then it carries over to next year. Well, I mean, that's definitely a possibility.
You're making some people really miserable right now.
Yeah. Listen, I'm trying not to be as negative about the Leafs.
You're talking about four of the top offensive players in the game.
Well, that's great in the regular season. Where were they in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Mm-hmm. The four of them. Swept in Edmonton, and we know what happened games 5-7 in Toronto and Montreal.
Swept in Edmonton, that still is
crazy.
Just when you say that, it's like...
And then Winnipeg gets swept and smoked by Montreal in the next round. Smoked. So I'll go a little bit higher. I'll say 35%.
The Blue Jays in Toronto will be a grand slam, selling out every possible ticket the rest of the season. Jerry's going to a game with no tarp.
Okay, no shirts.
I'll that make has, sure I don't go to that one.
That has been a theme around baseball. That is, I don't know if that, I think that was happening before COVID, but it certainly happened a lot after COVID. So Jerry's saying every home game the rest of the way. Now they've added a home game because they've moved the postponed game against the Sox to
the
when they're back in Toronto.
Doubleheader.
Which I like. That's
two
a smart
tickets
play.
Required.
Yep, that's smart. He's saying they're all going to be sold out. Every single possible ticket will be sold.
That is available.
That is available.
And starting at 15,000. Mm-hmm. I am going to say that is a 70% chance of that happening. I think they're going to make a little run here. They're going to add two pitchers at the deadline, one reliever, and they're going to make a little run. And the bats stay hot. And they get home. Getting home is going to mean a jump. So what are they, 3.5 out now?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make a run here. So they're going to sell out. Yeah, I'm going to say, no, I might be a little low there. 80% chance they're going to sell out every ticket available.
Well, I think there's two things that have to be accounted for here. One, I think the attendance and the capacity will escalate.
Yes.
You know, I think it'll go from 15% to, or 15,000 to 25,000, and then it'll be full bore, hopefully, by September. We'll see.
So now flashback to 16, 15, 16... You know,
right.
Those teams.
But those teams won. And that this team, I'm not willing to put them in the same ballpark as the 15 and 16 Jays. And that is where I would lower the number a little bit if it gets to a point in September where it is full capacity or it's available. You could sell upwards of, you know, 45,000 seats. And they're out of the playoffs. They're not going to sell out. Like, it's just as excited as people will
I'm banking on them being in the playoff run.
They have to be in the run.
Yeah.
They have to be.
Well, I'm taking
run.
That into account.
Yeah, absolutely, and you should. And I think they'll be in the running. It's just a matter of whether or not, you know, that last homestand, let's say they have, you know, 15 games left and they basically have to go 12-3 to get in. Are they still going to sell? I don't know if they will. You know, so I'll go a little bit lower than you. Let's say 51%. I'm just going to be into the majority. Just into the majority, but I think it's close to a coin flip because you're talking about a lot of seats. Not everyone is going to be comfortable with going, so you got to consider that. They're not going to have the full market.
I think the hunger to go is going to outweigh the not everybody wants to go.
I think
there's enough
that will
people
be the
that
case.
Are hungry to go. I mean, just...
For the first month and a half, anyway.
Just watch what's happening already at restaurants and with people. I mean, there's just a hunger and a desire to be normal again, Brian. We know that. We saw that on Sunday. It's like, we're normal.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. People are happy to be normal.
The desire to be normal is going to outweigh the disappointment if they lose a game.
Although, it's not going to be completely normal when you're wearing, you know, you're going to be wearing a mask in there. There's still going to be distancing. Although, if it becomes full capacity, maybe it won't be. You know, maybe it literally could be normal by the middle of September.
How long do you think we're wearing masks for?
I don't know. I think we're gonna.
Are we gonna have winter masks?
I think we're gonna go through the winter with like winter masking.
Boy.
Yeah, in some places anyway. And
we're
close
to normal on some fronts, and then you flip your mask on when you're.
The mask could not be any more abnormal from the way we used to live. Yeah. I never wore a mask in my life. You know, out in public.
Ever.
Now people are driving around wearing a mask.
Ever. I never.
Yeah.
Of course you didn't.
No, of course not.
What would you
all
wear
right.
one for?
Let's move on here.
One of Mackenzie Hughes or Corey Connors will medal at the Olympics. KZB's down 500 to O-Dog and all of the bets.
Just going to work that in there?
Well, it couldn't be further from the truth. The O-Dog is so deep in the hole. He is Beansy from The Sopranos, and I am Richie Aprile, and I owe him a conversation. I should find him down at the pizza shop and tell him to meet me out in the alleyway.
He couldn't pick the worst guy, can he? Yeah. He's just picking everything wrong?
This guy, he hasn't won one golf bet, Pooley. Not one. I have picked a number of winners. He has not picked one winner at any point. We've been doing this for like a year and a half. But anyway, Mackenzie Hughes or Corey Connors, one of them will medal. Gold, silver, bronze. All you need is one to get into the top three. They are playing well right now.
85% chance.
85.
I am going. I don't know who all is going for sure. Like, is
the Americans have Morikawa going. I think Justin Thomas. Like, the Americans are sending
they got a good team. Okay.
Some pretty heavy hitters. Okay. McIlroy's going. He doesn't sound like
Justin Rose won a medal last time, right? He was
yes, he
fired
did.
Up.
Yeah.
He's got to be on the team.
There weren't a lot of great players there in 2016.
No.
There weren't.
So there are going to be more at this one?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I like these guys' odds. I do.
I do, too, the way they're playing. I do, too.
Look at it. They're in the top, they're in the top groupings of the last two major tournaments.
Well,
Mackenzie Hughes is.
Hughes is.
Connors.
And Connors was. He kind of melted a little bit down the stretch on Sunday, but he was in it.
You got to get there to melt, though, Brian. You got to get there to melt.
The Masters, and although you can't melt if you're going to finish top three, right?
No.
You got to be in there by the end of the tournament to have an opportunity to pounce, but you've got to make sure that you follow it through. But they're both playing so well. It is such a unique tournament, and it's going to be back to no spectators, which it doesn't really affect golfers that much. Because they do it so often.
I'm going big for these guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going big.
Your highness?
85%.
I'm going to say I'm high on it too, though. I do think one of them is going to medal. I just have a feeling one of them is going to get hot, stay hot. I'm going to say 65%.
I kind of wish it was a team medal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I really like their odds then.
Yeah, team games. Like you just play team low. It's like gambling.
Yeah.
It just turns into completely debauchery and degenerate gambling at the Olympics. I support that idea. Do we have time for why don't we get to one more?
We'll save. They got a little side going.
They have
you
to.
Know they do.
They're just playing for a medal and no
they
cash.
On Mondays and Tuesdays, they got stuff going on.
Just
the
medal's not
all
enough.
The time.
Just a medal's not enough. These guys will have cash games going during the tour.
Guaranteed,
I guarantee you they
guaranteed.
Will. 100%.
Jerry's sniffing around the rumor mill and hearing some blockbusters could be brewing. And Matthew Tkachuk is leading the charge because he won't be in Calgary by the start of the 22-23 season.
That is an interesting one.
Okay, so he's giving us a full year, though.
A full year. So even by this time next year,
he's really hedging his bets.
Technically, in Calgary. But this is a guy, though, a year ago, though, Pooley, you thought future captain now that Giordano's gone.
Yes.
Face of the franchise, marketing guy. Everyone in Calgary loves him. And now his name, it sounds like it's kind of out there a little bit. Like at least some people are calling to wondering if he could be out of there.
I think it's really about change in Calgary, right? It's not about his name being out there. It's about change in Calgary. Well, if I'm going shopping in Calgary, that's the first name I'm asking about.
I love him. Yep.
You know, I mean, that's talk about an ingredient and an element and everything else. I mean, you're taking him over Johnny Gaudreau. You're taking him over Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
Giordano's not there. You're taking him over. I mean, you're taking him.
I'm with you on that.
If his name's out there, I'm the guy bringing his name up if I'm calling. So, and I don't see them winning with the configuration they have. So that feeds into the fact that change will be dictated.
Even with all that said, he's not untouchable. He's not McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon, but he's close on that team. I'd say, 10% because anything's possible, but I'm not moving Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
If I'm Calgary.
No, I'm the guy calling trying to get him moved.
Absolutely. But if you're
sure.
playing
yeah.
the
so
role of the
GM. So if you're
the
taking
GM,
the Calgary point of view, if he's going to be there, because he's young enough, you've got to rebuild around him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a low one for me.
It's low.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be low. 15%. Yeah, I think we're both seeing eye to eye on that one. We'll save Jerry's After Dark for about an hour from now. Anthony Cirelli still to come. Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio.
After Dark.
Back into the Bucks winning Giannis and what he had to say post-game. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Someone writing in and asking, I think, a very important question. Can Jared McCann get an alumni jacket and show up at the alumni box down at the Scotiabank Arena? And I'll ask the old dog. I mean, he knows what's up with
that. Do you not have an honorary one?
No, I don't. I don't know how they feel about me being down there. I've been in there a few times. I love it. It's awesome.
Just ask Go to get another one and take his old one.
Yeah, I should do that. Yeah.
That could work.
That could work. How quickly would I get thrown out of there and banned for life?
I don't think I think there'd be some confusion. They'd be like, yeah, Hayes played, didn't he? I think there would be some confusion.
I think people would know I never played for the Leafs.
Yeah, but they'd zip you up on Hockey DB and they'd see your name and they got a couple different teams there. I think you got a shot at it.
Maybe I could confuse them enough for like a game or two, but at some point they'd be like, what is this guy doing here and why does he have an alumni jacket and why is he in the alumni box every single game?
Everything you're saying denotes the fact that you should be there. You act like you should be there.
That's why I'm saying, Pooley, I think I could get like through
you
a few games. Like a few games, they'd be like, yeah, I don't know. That guy just, I don't know when he played here. Maybe it was
He
really
did play
awful.
Here, didn't he? Yeah, and then they don't want to embarrass
him. Yeah, he looks familiar.
I think
he looks like Aki Berg. I'll just pretend to be Aki Berg. Maybe that's what I need.
Who would not know that you weren't Aki Berg?
How would you not know? Exactly. How would you know that I'm not Aki Berg?
You could pull it off.
Unless one of his teammates was also in the alumni box that night and knew that I was.
We could find 12 names right now that you could be easily.
You could find someone that played one game for the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. Got the jacket.
15 years ago, and that counts. And I could be that guy.
Full confidence. You walk in there just asking for the penne.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know it's
pesto.
There.
Right. Chicken penne pesto, please.
You know it's there.
I'm here and I'm alumni. And it's all good. Maybe I'll try it. Who knows?
Good
we'll
luck.
See. And I want to see Jared McCann
Let me
there.
Know how it goes.
I want to see Jared McCann, alumni jacket, in the alumni
the
box.
Golf tournament.
At the golf tournaments. I need it. I need it. I need it all to be a part of this moving forward. Final hour coming up. Anthony Cirelli will join us of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio and Giannis and the Bucks and what they achieved last night and more. Still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.